As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
There's been one demand, and that's holding up that Lombardi trophy, period. That's all I care about, is holding that trophy up and holding that trophy up here.
The prime thing is you have to win. You have to win. Otherwise, you can't be a success in professional football.
You're listening to The State of the Nation with Jimmy Durkin, Vic Tafer, Tashawn Reed, and Ted Nguyen on the Athletic Podcast Network.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to State of the Nation here on the Athletic Podcast Network. This episode is presented by BetMGM, the exclusive betting partner of The Athletic. Sign up at BetMGM.com using the promo code THEATHLETICPOD. I am Jimmy Durkin, joined, as always, by Vic Tafer, Tashawn Reed, Ted Nguyen, and we're basically in the playoffs. This is a playoff game on Sunday, barring a miraculous Jaguars win over the Colts and the Steelers losing to the Ravens, which that definitely could happen. The Raiders and Chargers are in a winner-take-all playoff game. Winner goes to the playoff, loser goes home. For everything the Raiders have gone through this season, I don't think, you know, a month ago any of us would have predicted this. And it's exciting. I mean, Allegiant Stadium, primetime game, got flexed to Sunday Night Football shortly after we recorded our post-game show on Sunday, and we kind of expected that it would. I mean, this is the game that it's got so much on the line, and I mean, a chance for Derek Carr to earn himself a trip to the playoffs for the first time, a chance for Rich Bisaccia to maybe coach for his job, Mike Mayock coach for his job. Just so much on the line in this game, and I can't wait for Sunday to get here, really.
Yeah, it's the biggest game, I would say, for the Raiders since that 2011 game, which was ironically also against the Chargers at home to decide kind of who gets into the playoffs. They lost that one, and so obviously they want a different result this time around. I would imagine, you know, this is going to be very close to sold out, if not sold out, at Allegiant Stadium. And between LA being mostly Raiders fans and the Raiders fans here in Vegas and those traveling from the Bay, it's probably going to be their strongest home crowd this year. And obviously, it's Sunday Night Football and it's prime time. So it's hard not to get excited about this one. You know, both of these teams, I would say that they're pretty evenly matched. It didn't always seem like that way throughout this season, but I think they both kind of leveled off going into this final matchup. So I would imagine it would be a close game, an exciting game. Obviously, the Raiders, you know, if they pull this one off, they'll make the playoffs for the first time in 2016. But, you know, again, as we said after the game, it's pretty remarkable that they're in this situation to begin with, given everything that's happened with the franchise this season.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's the biggest game in 10 years. All eyes, you know, will be on the Raiders and especially Derek Carr. This is definitely, you know, 8 years in, a very polarizing figure in Raiders fandom, but definitely he's got a lot to show here. I think he definitely can take, you know, his narrative to another level here and kind of show he's got the guy. He is the guy to take this team to the next level, get him to the playoffs. He didn't play when they made the playoffs in 2016. He got hurt. So I think definitely for him, it's definitely a nice stage and kind of to maybe silence some of the doubters for a little bit, not permanently, but they'll always pipe up. But for a little while, at least kind of take the reins as being the true franchise quarterback of this team going forward.
I agree. I think this is a huge game for Derek Carr. I mean, all eyes are going to be on him. You know, the narrative on him has been, you know, depends on who you talk to. He's either the worst quarterback in the league or you know, the best. But it's basically a playoff game, and the big criticism of Carr is whether he could really carry a team over the hump, and this is really a situation where he could prove that he can be that quarterback to really get a team over or carry a team. So we'll see if he's able to do it. Last time the Raiders weren't able to score in the first half against the Chargers, so I think they need to come out and to a much faster start than that. I don't think they could afford to go behind 21-0 like last time. And how Carr plays is going to be a big part of that.
Yeah, the Carr is interesting just because, you know, even though he's never played in the playoffs, I think it's pretty, like, it's undeniable that he's a good clutch quarterback just because all the game winning, you know, drives that he's led. Obviously, that's a team thing. It's not just, you know, the quarterback doing that, but I don't think you can win that many and not have some kind of clutch gene in you, you know. But with Carr this year in particular, like, we've seen a different level of aggression from him, and that's come with a lot of turnovers, you know, especially during this three-game winning streak. They've committed 7 turnovers, and he's responsible for 6 of them. But given that he's helped them put together some of these you know, game-clinching drives at the end of the game, it kind of gets wiped away. And so I think this game, you know, the key for him, especially going against this explosive Chargers offense, is, you know, finding a way to pair that aggression with taking better care of the football, which is, like, obviously not easy to do, but it's possible. You know, he's had some games this season where he has a super high, you know, air yards per attempt and an average, you know, yards per attempt, but he hasn't turned the ball over. So, and you know, with guys like Darren Waller potentially coming back this week and the team getting a little bit healthier, you know, if they could get one of those clean performances from him where he's pushing the ball downfield but avoiding turnovers, I think the Raiders will have a pretty good shot in this one.
I think for Carr, it's not so much like, is he a clutch quarterback? I think there's a different thing, right, between a clutch quarterback, a guy who can deliver, you know, big moments in the fourth quarter, and big game quarterback. I think that's probably been more of the criticism, is that Carr hasn't necessarily performed in big games, games against the Chiefs. You know, people go back to the Las Vegas Bowl in college where, you know, they got, you know, worked by USC, which, I mean, you're Fresno State playing USC, that can happen. But I think that's where there's some proving ground. But, you know, it is funny, though, like Ted, you mentioned kind of the narrative depending on who you talk to. I mean, you look across the national media all week and it's, you know, we need to create awards for Derek Carr. He's, you know, he's not the MVP, but he's done this, that. I mean, and so it's like, I mean, heaped all the national praise, and like deservedly so, for the way that this team has stayed in the fight. But obviously we know how mixed the emotions are among Raider fans, and it is weird, but I think this is a big opportunity. We know he can be a clutch quarterback. Can he be a big game quarterback? This is the biggest game. I know he refused to say it on Wednesday, this is the biggest game, because the last 3 games have all been must win and have been the biggest games, but we'll know by kickoff. If you lose, you're out. If you win, you're in.
I mean, we'll get to it later when we interview Daniel Popper, but I think the run game is going to be huge in this game because, you know, Carr's talked about how he's not nervous at the end of games. We know he's very clutch at the end of games, but he can get a little amped up in the beginning of games. I think that's going to be a factor, especially in the biggest game of his career, too. And you're going against a Chargers run defense that, you know, we've talked about this a ton, that is probably the worst run defense in the league. They might be a little better with Justin Jones in the lineup, but the Raiders have ran the ball better as of late, and they just couldn't do it in that first Chargers game, and they tried to establish the run in the first half, and it really cost them opportunities and made them really inefficient the way that they weren't able to take advantage of that run defense. So that's going to be a big factor to a big start, too, and to keep the ball away from Justin Herbert, because, you know, I think the defense has played well. They played against some, you know, really bad quarterbacks, but I don't think this is a game where you could count on or should count on your defense being able to stop Justin Herbert with the way this Chargers offense has been playing. So getting this offense going and getting ready for a high-scoring game is what the Raiders should be doing.
Yeah, I think the biggest factor in the run game is going to be the health of Josh Jacobs. Obviously, he had that huge game against the Broncos, and really, I mean, the first quarter against the Colts, like I thought he was running really well. I mean, he was averaging over 5 yards a carry, and he looked really good. And then he hurt his ribs, and even though we've made the Peyton Barber jokes this season, he's not Josh Jacobs, and that was very apparent. Even though they had a solid rushing yardage total, the efficiency just dropped, it plummeted from there. And he's been limited in practice so far this week with that rib injury. You know, if he's able to be healthy in the game and feel like Josh Jacobs and carry a high workload, I think the run blocking from the offensive line has been improved enough in the last few weeks. And then the Chargers' run defense is so bad that you would expect Jacobs to have a pretty good game in this one. It's just a matter of, you know, can he stay on the field often enough?
Carr is so good at the two-minute offense. I wonder, why not just go with a hurry-up offense to start off with? Why not just try and change the tempo and get a different kind of feel to this game? I think last time you guys mentioned they tried to establish a run game, and it didn't work. I mean, this O-line's not good enough. I'm not sure the running game is good enough where you can try that again. I would definitely try to set up the run with the pass. I know that, I mean, ideally Waller's back. That'd be a big plus for him. But they still have enough tools. I think they can kind of get this thing going in a different direction off the start. I know they're going to try and establish a run because we mentioned the Chargers aren't good against the run, but I just think that might be the wrong approach. I think you got to try something different. I would definitely try and pass first and get it going that way.
Yeah, I think you can, like, you know, mix, because I think on the opening drive against the Colts, like, it was pretty evenly split between run and pass, but that tempo was there and everything was, you know, kind of, obviously it's all scripted to start the game, so it makes sense that it would be, but, you know, whether they're pass heavy or run heavy, I think that tempo element that you're just speaking about is pretty important, and it's something that they've shown that they're capable of doing. I think it's just a matter of, because we've seen them throughout this winning streak, they've gotten off to pretty good starts, I would say, in all three of these games, but they always kind of had that mid-game lull. It's kind of flipped from what it was at the start of the season. They were coming out really slow, and then they would pick it up midway through the game. Now they're starting fast and then getting that midway kind of slump. And so I think them consistently, obviously you're not going to score every drive, but not having those multiple drives in a row where you're getting nothing out of the offense is going to be key for them, just because I think the Chargers' offense is way too explosive to come up empty, you know, two, three, four times in a row.
Yeah, we referenced it earlier, but does sound like Darren Waller should be able to make his return. Raiders got him back out of practice on Wednesday, and the key was just to kind of see, make sure he comes in Thursday, not feeling any extra soreness, that he's able to go. But, I mean, you can't understate, you know, getting back a guy who is, you know, a Pro Bowl caliber tight end. Obviously, if he wasn't hurt, he'd probably be going to another Pro Bowl. He's an all-pro caliber tight end. He's one of the best in the league. I mean, if they can get him back, you know, maybe even not at 100%, because, you know, we'll see what his conditioning level's like, not only missing a month, but then also going on the COVID list. But if they can get him back, what does that add to their offense? I mean, it gives them such another dynamic weapon that we've seen what Hunter Renfrow has done, especially with Waller out. But you can combine Waller, Renfrow, and then, you know, Zay Jones has been on a nice little run. Vic, he's your guy, and he's you're finally getting rewarded for being on the Zay Jones train.
My guy. Yeah, he's playing better. I think Waller gives him a big play guy. That's something they've been missing, a guy who can make a big play on a third down, even get open deep. I think also in this game, least preoccupied Derwin James, and Derwin James is obviously a stud and a guy who'll be all over the place. But if Waller's out there, definitely would limit, I think, what James can do as far as other things. So I think definitely he's a guy who, if he's out there, the Chargers have to attack this game differently than they would if he wasn't out there. So just on that level, I think it's a big deal.
Even if you look at the last game, Hunter Renfrow has been getting a lot of attention from defenses on that interception that Carr threw when he tried to throw to Deshaun Jackson deep. Yeah, I don't know if they did it on purpose or it just ended up looking like this, but Hunter Renfrow ended up getting triple teamed. Both safeties, you know, came down in the box and was bracketing Renfrow. And that's why Carr had to chuck it deep to Deshaun Jackson. But I mean, you won't be able to do that with Darren Waller on the field, because if you had to double one of those guys, you're probably going to double Waller, even if he's not 100%. So just Waller being on the field is going to open things up for this offense for sure.
Plus, I'll add in the trickle down, like in the red zone, if Waller's out there, all of a sudden Foster Moreau is a much bigger weapon. And Foster Moreau, I think, definitely can be a guy who can expose your second linebacker on defense. So I think just in the red zone alone, that's also another factor.
Obviously, a big impact part of this three-game winning streak has been what their defense has been able to do. And granted, they've played, you know, Carson Wentz and, you know, Nick Mullen and Drew Locke, and so that obviously plays a factor. And we'll see if what they can do against Justin Herbert. But their defense, I mean, this gives them an opportunity to really close out what's been an impressive season. And if they can get it done against Justin Herbert, against an offense that we all acknowledge is explosive, Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, all the weapons they have, if they can get it done against that offense, against Justin Herbert on Sunday, I mean, this will really put a nice stamp on what's been a bounce-back season for this defense, and really what's been an impressive season for Gus Bradley, Yannick Ngakoue, Max Crosby, Casey Hayward, Denzel Perryman. Obviously, Vic, you wrote about him here on Thursday. It would be a nice way to just say, like, yeah, this defense has really delivered all season.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the biggest kind of question mark for the defense as of late has been, you know, can the secondary hold up against, you know, kind of an actually good quarterback. We haven't really seen them go against one the last 3 weeks. They've had a lot of moving parts there back there with the injuries. You know, I mean, it looks like Roger Teamer is going to be the starting box safety now that he's back off the COVID list. And Desmond Trufant seems to have carved out that other starting cornerback role opposite of Casey Hayward. you know, he's a little bit long in the tooth, but he's been playing pretty well. I would say the last 3 weeks, he's looked pretty good in all 22. And then the big question mark, obviously, this week, I don't think we've talked about it yet, but, you know, Nate Hobbs was arrested for DUI on Monday. But, you know, Darish Bisaccia said yesterday that he's going to be able to play Sunday. He said it's a legal matter. He wouldn't elaborate too much, but apparently whatever information they got made them feel comfortable allowing him to play. And so that secondary still basically has two backups. Now the Hobbs will be out there. So can they hold up against Justin Herbert? And I think the big part of that will be, you know, is the pass rush. We've seen it be strong all year. They've had some lapses here and there. But, you know, if the pass rush is clicking at that peak level that it's kind of been at during this three-game winning streak and put some pressure on Herbert, I think that may be, you know, it's just as important as how the secondary is playing. And you know, probably will decide how good of a performance it is for the defense.
You mentioned Hayward. He's had a really good year this year. But the one thing missing has been that big play. He's dropped some interceptions and kind of been close, making some kind of huge momentum-changing plays and hasn't gotten that done. So this would be a great game for him against his former team to kind of make a statement. And again, he's had a really, really good year. I think it's been a nice surprise for everybody. But this would be kind of like cement. I think his status is a rare to remember if he made a big play in this game and, you know, the biggest game in 10 years. And it's definitely the stage is set for him to do something special.
In the games that Herbert hasn't played well, it's when that offensive line, you know, has gotten overwhelmed. And they do, you know, Rashawn Slater, the left tackle, has been one of the best left tackles in the league. But they have some weaknesses on that offensive line, especially at right tackle where Max Crosby rushes off of. So, you know, it's pretty cliche to say you have to be able to pressure a four, but Crosby needs to have one of his best games of the season. He has to dominate this game and really harass Justin Herbert. I still don't think that you can rely on having a stellar defensive performance just with the way this offense has been playing in the past 4 weeks. But, you know, you need some stops. And I think if Crosby just plays out of his mind, it's going to go a long way.
Yeah, I think another, you know, obviously all the focus is going to be on Herbert or most of it. But also they have to do a better job against Austin Ekeler. He really had a big game against him last time, both running the ball and in the receiving game. You know, Raiders for a while, they've had issues with their linebackers covering running backs. But I think Devon Diablo, his evolution since that game, obviously he wasn't playing on defense for them then. I think he's a better matchup and coverage for Ekeler. And then also their run defense has been obviously much better. And they may be getting Jonathan Hankins back this week. He's been out for the last couple of games, but they're thinking that he should be able to practice today as we're recording this. But if they're able to get him back in combination with how Darius Phylon has been playing in the middle and the improvement we've seen from Max Crosby in the running game and having Denzel Perryman back out there, I think if they can make this Chargers offense more one-dimensional and kind of bottle up Austin Ekeler in a better way this game, that would also help their effort a ton.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Chargers now. We'd like to welcome in our Chargers beat writer for The Athletic, Daniel Popper. You can't get much bigger than this. It's week 18. You've got the Raiders, Chargers, divisional matchup, likely a winner-take-all. Obviously, a small percentage chance that the Raiders could get in if the Jaguars were able to beat the Colts and the Steelers lose to the Ravens. And then there's the other, you know, scenario where both teams get in. But we're assuming it's winner-take-all on Sunday night, divisional matchup. You know, for the Chargers, they've got Justin Herbert, second-year quarterback. Looks like he's going to be a superstar. They've got their first-year head coach, Brandon Staley. I mean, just what's the excitement level like? What's it like in L.A. for the Chargers right now as they're getting ready to play this game with a chance for them to get into the playoffs?
It's an enormous moment for the franchise. You know, they haven't made the playoffs since 2018. They've only had two playoff appearances since Tom Telesco took over as general manager in 2013. So it really is an indication of this thing moving forward. You know, you've seen the improvement from Justin Herbert. It would obviously be his first playoff appearance. Brandon Staley in his first year as head coach leading this team to the playoffs would obviously, you know, be very supportive of him being the right guy to lead this thing. So there's a lot on the line. You know, my opinion on whether this is a successful season for the Chargers isn't really going to change depending on this game. But obviously there's a ton of excitement. And then obviously for the Chargers trying to get a foothold in a new city to have a playoff appearance and even to have this game on national television with the entire nation watching and so much on the line is obviously good for the organization in that regard as well.
In your opinion, what's been the biggest issue with the defense? Why hasn't the defense been better this year?
It's two things. It's the run defense has been really inconsistent, and they just haven't had the depth in the defensive line to weather some injuries. You know, when Justin Jones has been on the field, they've been a good run defense. When he hasn't been on the field, they haven't been a good run defense. And so I think it's a depth issue there. When they have all their pieces, they're pretty solid, but they've been inconsistent there. And then the other thing is third down defense. They have the worst third down defense in the league. And I think that goes back to a little bit of the run defense getting into a lot of third and shorts, but then also all the moving pieces they've had in the secondary. They really haven't had their starting secondary for much of the season. Asante Samuel Jr., Michael Davis, Chris Harris, Derwin James, and Naz Adderley. Last week against the Broncos is actually the first time they'd all played together and been healthy for a full game since week one. And then just the way Brandon Staley plays defense schematically, like, it relies so much on communication and continuity, passing off routes and all of that stuff. And that when you don't have your pieces and you have all these moving guys in and out, you know, it's going to be really hard for them to be consistent in that area. When they've had all their guys, they've been a lot better on third down. They've been a lot better on pass defense. So those two areas are things that have really jumped out defensively for me.
On offense, it seems like they've had some kind of peculiar lows, like against the Broncos or earlier in the season or the weird Texans game. In terms of that, do you think it's just kind of like the variance of a season, or has there been something that jumps out with the offense?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of that. When you look at it on aggregate, they're still, you know, top three offense in the league, you know, regardless of what efficiency metric you look at. So they've been a really, really good offense. But when they've had their lulls, it's been just turnovers and then inopportune mistakes. You know, at one point in the season, they were leading the league in drops. They've had a lot of penalties in really crucial moments. And with the way the defense has been playing, not being able to stop the run and not being able to get off the field on third down, there just haven't been that many opportunities offensively, and so it's really decreased the margin of error. So those mistakes have really been magnified. But with this offense, like if they show up and they don't turn the ball over and they limit penalties, they're going to put up points. They just have too much talent, and I think the scheme is really sound. I think Joe Lombardi has done a really good job. But when they've had their lulls, it's just been, you know, different mistakes at different moments, protection breakdowns, penalties, turnovers, drops that have just derailed drives. And when you don't have a ton of opportunities, you know, those mistakes get magnified.
Obviously, one of the big storylines that came out of the last Chargers-Raiders matchup was the postgame comment from Joey Bosa. And, you know, Derek Carr always kind of takes the high road there. And, like, even on Wednesday, he was like, you know, he also said that I'm a great guy. And, you know, let's focus on the positive. What do you expect in this game? You know, I mean, Carr even said, like, yeah, I'll probably be talking crap to him throughout the game. What do you expect between Bosa and Derek Carr in this one?
We haven't gotten Joey Bosa after a game since that legendary post-game press conference, so that has been unfortunate for the media, because after games, he can be pretty riled up and tremendous, as everyone saw. You know, Joey's the type of player, it's really interesting, like, he sort of flips the switch. Like, if you piss him off, he's going to find a different gear. Like, it happened in the Broncos game, they caught it on the mic'd up, where Drew Locke started yelling out, he's tired. On the very next play, Joey shot through the line of scrimmage and tackled Melvin Gordon for a tackle for loss, and then got up and looked at Drew Lock and said, I'm not effing tired. So, yeah, I mean, the final stretch of the season has sort of been a little bit up and down for Joey Bosa, just because he was on the COVID list. He's been in and out of the lineup. He had sort of hit his stride where he had, you know, six sacks in seven games. The only game he didn't have a sack was when he left early in the game with an ankle injury, and five of those sacks were sack fumbles. So, you know, we're sort of looking for Joey Bosa to refine his form, but he's one of the premium edge rushers in the league. You know, he's going to show up for a game like this, and he's the type of guy that will hold some grudges. So I'm sure he'll be fired up for this one and be looking to get after Derek Carr.
Yeah, I feel like what dictated the game last time was just that the Chargers front, you know, completely dominated the Raiders offensive line. You know, they couldn't pass protect. That's one of their worst pass protecting games this year. And then they couldn't run the ball either. The Raiders offensive line, they have that same five-man unit, which was their first time using it against the Chargers. And they've been together for some weeks now. That Chargers front, do you feel like it's capable of still putting that together, that kind of performance, and not only rushing the passer, but also stopping the run given their run struggles this year?
Yeah, it feels like that's what the game's going to come down to. Like, everything with this Chargers team is like, can they stop the run? Like, whenever I'm analyzing, okay, what's going to happen in the game, I always start there because everything revolves around that. Because if they stop the run, they get into more third and longs. If they get into more third and longs, they get off the field more on third down. If they get more off the field more on third down, they give their offense more opportunities, and that's really what it comes down to. They've been really inconsistent against the run, and their pass rush has also come and gone at times, despite having a ton of talent up there, particularly with Joey Bosa and then Chinua Nwosu on the other side. So it really feels like that's what it's going to come down to, and even on both sides of the ball, right? Because the Raiders have really stopped the run over these last three games against some really good rushing teams. Can the Chargers get the running game going? It's been a decent running game. Like, if most football games are going to come down to the trenches, but it really feels like with the way these two teams are playing and some of the inconsistencies that they both had, you know, is it going to come down to, you know, the trenches? It certainly feels that way.
Outside of the quarterbacks, give me a key player you think has to play well on Sunday night for you guys to win. Or for you guys, sorry, for the Chargers to win.
Derwin James, obviously, is the guy that jumps out. When he's playing at his best, it's pretty special to watch just because he does so much for this team. And when they have their full secondary, they really are able to move him around. He had his most pass rushing snaps in a game on Sunday since week six. And it's really what the defense is supposed to look like. You know, they can move Chris Harris back to safety and put Derwin James in the slot. They can put Derwin James at edge rusher. They play him at money backer. They put him at post safety. They put him at half field safety. He really does everything you can ask a defensive player to do. And we really saw that come to fruition last week once they got their guys healthy. So with everyone healthy this week, I would expect Derwin James to make some splash plays and be moved around a bunch and really have an impact on this game, because I think he's playing at an all-pro level this season.
All right, we are going to make our predictions in a little bit, but we're not going to let you get out of here without we normally don't call on our guests to make a prediction, but I mean, this is a winner-take-all playoff game. So what happens on Sunday night? Are you a week from now preparing for a Chargers playoff game, or are Vic and Tashawn getting ready to book a trip to a playoff game?
Well, Jimmy, you know I'm preparing for a playoff game because we're working on this feature together. I'm predicting a Colts loss to the Jags and then both teams running three times in the line of scrimmage and punting for a 0-0 tie. No, okay. Actually, no, I have the Chargers winning. I'm a big numbers guy, so I've been, you know, obviously diving into numbers. It just feels like the Chargers are a better team in games like these. In the way the NFL is played right now, you look at, okay, who has the better offense, and it just feels like the Chargers have the better offense. They have the better quarterback, and I'm going to lean into that in a game like this. So I got the Chargers winning. Let's say 30-24.
All right, man. Which should be a fun game on Sunday night, prime time. Winner goes to the playoffs. I mean, you can't ask for much more than that for a Week 18 game. So appreciate it, Pop, and we'll see what happens on Sunday.
See you in Vegas, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, Daniel has the Chargers winning. We'll see what we have to say in a little bit here. But before we get to our predictions, we are going to go to the mailbag. And we're going to start with a question that references something we just talked about with Pop. Aaron B. says, last time we played the Chargers, Joey Bosa clowned Derek Carr after the game. Do you think Derek is fired up to talk shit back? Do you think Derek ever uses bad words? He claims he doesn't. We are not privy to the privacy of his private conversations, but we'll take him at his word, right? That he never curses. But I mean, he said he's looking forward to, like, he'll talk some crap back and forth with Bosa during the game, and I mean, it might be, you know, the Philip Rivers type trash talk, but he'll have some words. I mean, just because he doesn't curse doesn't mean that he doesn't talk with other guys on the other side.
Yeah, he'll talk. I think, you know, looking back, I like to think that there's games he plays angry. I think he plays better when he's angry. So maybe he's saying it's not a big deal and whatever, we're friends. Maybe he takes it personally. He should. Maybe he kind of comes out this game with a different edge to him. I think that'd be good for the Raiders. I think an angry Derek Carr is a better Derek Carr.
You've written that column a time or two or three.
I have, yeah. I'm 8 years, yeah.
Question here from Daniel M. What is the feeling among the players? Just a few weeks ago, guys had to call out other players for coasting. Has that been resolved? 1-3 in a row. I think they're in good shape.
It always sounds better when they're winning games. But, you know, everybody sounds fairly confident going into this one. You know, they haven't really been I don't know why people keep asking them about this dumbass tie scenario, but they've been asked about, you know, the different ways they can make it into playoffs if they tie or lose or whatever. And they're just focused on beating the Chargers because they know that's the simplest way. If they do that, they make the playoffs. All the other scenarios don't matter. And so they seem locked in. They seem focused and obviously motivated to go and get the job done this weekend.
If you don't get motivated and focused on this game, then it's just not going to happen. You don't deserve to get into playoffs anyways. So, yeah, I mean, I think their focus should be 100%, you know, in their preparation and coming into the game.
Yeah, the whole tie scenario is stupid. I don't know why anybody is bothering to ask them about that. I mean, it's...
Besides being competitively stupid, like, no one's going to play for a tight NFL. But also, in this case, if we say, if the Jags win and blah, blah, blah. So, the winner of this game, the Chargers and the Raiders, would then be able to avoid going to KC in all likelihood. I mean, you don't want to go to KC. I mean, that's probably the number two team in the playoffs. So that's a pretty big reason to win the game and not go to KC, I would think.
I know the point that is like, okay, so if the Steelers win, you know, you don't 100% need a win. But like, okay, let's say the Steelers lose and like the Jaguars lose. Then you're still in that position where you're in and the Chargers could get into the playoffs with a win. Like, and at that point, like if you're in, you kind of don't really care who the other person, other team is. Like, especially if the Steelers lose, you're not going to like, okay, well, let's tie, guys, so we can both get in. That's just sad.
Turn in the page. Stupid.
Next question up from Tyler G. With the performance of several players on the up, Perryman, Crosby, Hayward, Merrick, Renfro, I have come around on that idea of Bisaccia and the current staff sticking around. Even if they lose to the Chargers, is Bisaccia going to get serious consideration for the full-time job? Vic, you've been on record all along. Playoffs are bust. Does the three-game winning streak give Bisaccia some chance if they lose to still stick around?
I don't think so, but I guess it depends on what kind of game it is Sunday. Is it a close game? Is it down to the wire? Or they look good? I mean, do they come out and, like the last game 10 years ago, they laid an egg. So, I mean, that was why, one of the reasons why Hugh Jackson didn't come back. So it's that kind of game. So I think there's still a lot to be figured out. I'm sure Mark Davis still has a lot of ideas in his mind if he wants to bring a big name guy, a big name college coach guy. I mean, so there's so many options you can consider. But obviously, I think if they win this game and they're in the playoffs, I think you look at the players, how they played for Rich, and I think to look at the guys that Mike Mack has been able to draft that played well, those are probably reasons enough to kind of give these guys another year. But again, I think so much can happen. I think it depends on how the game goes. Win or lose, you know, how they play is also a big factor in my mind.
And it feels like any scenario in which he does stick around, he's not getting like a 6-year contract. It's going to be one of those shorter term, probably 3-year head coaching contracts where it's like, okay, we're going to keep you around for a couple more years. And hey, if next year goes haywire and we need to get out of it with 2 years left, like we can. I don't see him getting a large contract if he does stick around. All right. Well, you mentioned Mark Davis. So Joshua T, are we all in agreement that Mark Davis actually saved the season? We are undefeated since he had the at least we're winning off the field comment. Mark Davis officially moves up into the top three of the NFL owner power rankings.
I forgot about that. That was really an inspirational moment. It's so true. Like, it really galvanized the whole team with that comment, which I'm sure 2/3 of the players never even heard. But sure, let's give Mark Davis credit. He definitely galvanized his team and got them to play well against Nick Mullins and Drew Locke and Carson Wentz.
Can we get him executive of the year?
Yes, definitely. No doubt.
There we go. All right.
You got to write about this motivational tactic, Vic, this amazing ownership motivational tactic.
It's good, man. Kind of the offhand remark, which people don't really register, but you realize that kind of in a subconscious level kind of struck a chord with the players. Like, you know what? Let's do better.
All right. Michael H., how will the Raiders prioritize the contracts of Derek Carr, Hunter Renfro, and Darren Waller? Is Renfro worth top 10 receiver money, and might he get such a deal elsewhere? Obviously, important to note, none of them are upcoming free agents, especially a guy like Derek Carr. Quarterbacks typically do not play under lame duck deals. Renfro and Waller, they don't have to be extended this offseason, but you would think there would be some consideration there, especially with the cap room and some exploding cap coming up here. But how would you prioritize Carr, Renfro, Waller?
I mean, obviously Carr is the, like, over anybody, you know, that's the biggest chip that you have to figure out if you're going to give him, you know, I mean,
well, that's the question. Is that he's the first decision, right? But is he the top priority?
Of course. He's Derek Carr. He's your starting quarterback. I mean, he's the biggest money, like, longest years. I mean, he's the one that's not going to play on that contract next year. So, I mean, Hunter Renfro has been great, but like your slot receiver and your tight end that's locked up anyway, I think your quarterback is very clearly the top priority there.
That's if they want him, right? Everyone wants to say that they don't want him.
I mean, like, if they don't, I mean, good luck. I don't know if they're drafting Malik Willis or Matt Corral or whatever they're doing at quarterback, but
Sam Howell.
Yeah, you know, I mean, with the way Derek Carr has played this season, them being in the playoff run, especially if they make the playoffs, like, it's not guaranteed, you know, obviously, especially if they're bringing in a new coach and a new GM, how those guys feel about Derek, but this doesn't seem like a great offseason to move on from Derek Carr unless you're swinging a trade from Aaron Rodgers, you know what I mean? Like, this
about Big Russ.
Yeah, I don't, with the way Russ has looked at in Seattle, like, yeah, obviously Derek Carr, and I would say probably Renfroe, just because, you know, given the amount of money that he's making as a mid-round pick and the kind of season that he had, I think he has a lot more leverage to go get an extension. I'm not saying he's a better player than Darren Waller, but with Waller being injured and already, you know, kind of being on a deal that was an extension for him, I don't think he has like a ton of, I mean, he's still Darren Waller, but I don't know that he has a ton of leverage to be like, I need a new deal right now. So I'd probably say Carr, Renfroe, and Waller.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think Carr is definitely the top priority. I think Renfro's a guy who I'm sure you told him, hey, man, we'll take care of you at some point. They'd be like, cool, that's fine with me. So I think there's no rush there. And I think Waller, you mentioned, had some injuries this year. And obviously, as a new agent, he wants a big contract at some point. I'm not sure it has to happen right now. So I definitely think figuring out Derek Carr's future and how much you're going to take to pay him and how that works is definitely the top priority and then top box you got to check.
All right, last question here from Brendan W. It's the most important question we are going to get this week. What song is Vic going to sing when the Raiders win?
No.
Well, I'll just sing it. Why don't we have, I mean, this is the Raiders, right? Why don't we have them rap something?
You want me to
like
rap?
Some Ice Cube, or like some Too Short, or you know what I mean? Like, what is up with all this singing? It's the Raiders.
See, I'm going to say something I'm going to regret. When I was a teenager, I could beatbox a little bit.
Hey, but man. I vote for rap. I want bars. Fuck all this singing. Let's get some bars.
Why didn't all the social media exist when Vic was younger? I wish we could like go dig all these third grade performances up and his high school beatboxing. Or
I could go down to the Win Club with my guy Marshmallow there. My guy Marshmallow and I could do some stuff after the game if they win. Shout out to Marshmallow, that's my guy. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I think the singing thing was nice, and I think we should move on from that for a while.
No, you said you're gonna keep it going as long as they win.
I want bars.
Brian's gonna replay the tape here. Play that back. I never said that. Media always misquotes people, man. I hate the media. Always misquoting me.
All right, guys. Prediction time. Daniel's got the Chargers winning. Everybody wants us to predict the Chargers to win, I think,
yes,
because, you know, last week we all predict the Colts to win, and we immediately said, well, congratulations to the Raiders on that big win. But who wants to bat leadoff? Who's...
I'm going
to
jump out and say it. Raiders 33, Chargers 30. Raiders are going to the playoffs.
Damn it, Sean.
Raiders are going to the playoffs.
The six-game winning kick of the year for Daniel Carlson?
I think so. I think it's tied 30-30. Derek Carr gets the ball back with around 2 minutes left. They drive down the field, and Daniel Carlson comes through. Send them to the playoffs, man. I think they pull it off. I know back when they were 5-2, we all said they'd be a wild card team, and look what's happening. It's gonna come to fruition. So I'm going with the Raiders.
I need to check the seeding because remember back when we, like halfway point, we made our bold predictions or whatever, and I predicted Raiders as a wild card team going to Tennessee in the wild card round. And I, you know, Tennessee, I know, is currently sitting in the one seed, but Kansas City can still steal away the number one seed. So it's still on the table. The Raiders, you know, we haven't discussed exact seeding here. The Raiders, with a win, would likely slot in at the number six seed, but I believe if the Bills or the Patriots lost, they would jump up to the five seed. So they could get all the way as high up as the five. They would only be the seven seed, I believe. That would have to require that whole, you know, Steelers losing, Colts losing, and then the Raiders losing to the Chargers, and I think the Chargers would be six, Raiders would be seven. There's still a lot of seeding options for them where they get in, but it's still a possibility that they could be in the wild card playing the Titans, I believe.
If the Colts win, aren't they playing for seven? If the Colts win, aren't the Chargers and Raiders playing for seven?
No, because the Raiders have the tiebreaker over the Chargers. They would seed ahead of the Colts. The Raiders have the tiebreaker ahead of the Colts because they beat them. So they would both be 10-7. Raiders would slot ahead at the number six seed. So yeah, I'm gonna say Raiders win. They get that matchup. Ow. Get that matchup against the Titans. I'll go 35-28.
I'm not gonna curse the Raiders by
giving us a unanimous Raider choice on this podcast.
It wasn't going to be unanimous. Don't worry about that, but go ahead.
I mean, you know, like Daniel said, just looking at the numbers and just seeing how Justin Herbert has played in these last 4 weeks, it's hard for me to see the Raiders beating them in a high-scoring game. So I think the Chargers end up winning this one 33-27.
I'm also going to respect the wishes of our faithful listeners and readers. I'm going to pick the Chargers to win. I picked it against the Raiders 3 times in a row now, so that's going well for everybody. So this is 4. But I just think, in all seriousness, I think the running back matchup, people talk about the quarterback matchup, I think the running back matchup is huge. And I think I have more confidence in Austin Eckler than I do in Josh Jacobs in that crew. So I think Eckler has a big game. I'll say Chargers 28, Raiders 21.
Yeah, I'm kind of in an upset mood this week because I'm participating in our expert picks this year. And like me and our Pittsburgh writer, Mark, we're tied for first place. So I need to start picking some upsets so I can get my advantage over him. So hopefully I win it. My Raiders record is terrible. But like when I'm picking the entire league, I should have been Vic this year. I should have put some money in. I never bet, but I would have made me some money this year, man.
All right, everybody. It's going to be a fun one on Sunday night. I mean, playoffs are bust. You can't ask for much more week 18. Obviously, everybody would love to be locked in and loaded already in the playoffs, but it's going to be a fun one. I mean, enjoy that game. Enjoy watching it, and you know, we'll see if the Raiders can get themselves into the playoffs.
Talk to you guys later.
Come say hi to me and Marshmallow in the club after the game also.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.